Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.10:05 on a Thursday morning. Hardy and Scott Zolak live from the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. So, we're doing it again this year.
Yeah, we are. I'm glad you did that. I now know it's Thursday. I know what time it is. It's 10:05. Actually, 10:06 right now. Thanks for joining us.
It's just a consciousness reset.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where we are and what we're doing and why we're here is for, of course, basketball viewing today. There are a few places that are better to watch the tournament games and Scoreboard in Woburn.
Well, Las Vegas and Beatles there. So Beatles gambling in Las Vegas. I think he got up nice and early. He's going to set the scene and get ready for his games today. But we're here. Come on down. I'll tell you what. This place gets humming at around 12:30. Jim, what time's the first game tip off? Your little URI team there, a little engine that could.
Yeah. URI against National Player of the Year candidate Trae Young in Oklahoma, 12:15 CBS.
Dude, averages like, double-double scoring and assists, right?
He's scoring like 40 early in the season, yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch.
You peaked too soon, though. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. He actually did, but.
So the little engine that could, URI Rams, tip it off at 12:15. So get your brackets ready, get your beers ready, get your drinks ready, bring your friends, come on down. This place gets humming. Right around lunchtime.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So doing it again here this year. I don't know if
we're guys come in with their brackets and laptops and iPads and
bring your wire. Yep, they got wireless here.
This was also the
place
site
doesn't right
of I believe the least favorite segment of all time.
Where?
According to Tom T-Bone Morgan, when we were here.
I think it was back to Feldman, maybe.
It was awesome.
It was a long time ago.
I was away in my Tahoe trip.
Well, there were two things that happened here. That when we interviewed that comedian, which I thought was
Craig Gass,
it was probably one of the most fun segments I've ever done
in
10 years.
It was okay.
It was good.
He wanted to come on as, I don't know, Dick Vitale. He wanted to come on and do one of his impersonations.
Of course.
And he was upset with me because
it's like Frank Caliendo.
Because I didn't play along and actually introduce him as the person. And he was like, well, now you know, you just kind of blew the cover. I said, did you actually think people thought like John Madden was going
to
be
Or we were going to actually talk to Dick Vitale.
Right. Not doing your reindeer games, Craig.
Right.
But T-Bone hated that segment. He thought it was one of the worst things we've ever done.
Well, that's why Tom
was
still.
Was it T-Bone?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll ask him.
T-Bone's Feldman, too.
T-Bone's back in Brighton right now. T-Bone?
I was filling in for Jim. I wasn't on the show yet, but I was filling in.
It was you and Feldman, right?
And he was doing Pacino.
Al Pacino. And what did you think of the segment?
Hoo-wah!
It was the worst ever.
It was the worst? See? Okay.
It was the most fake laughter I've ever heard from Hardy.
Okay.
Well go replay the Solder interviews,
that is
okay?
Saying something.
Go replay the Solder interviews if you want to see fake laughter. Or go listen to some other shows at other times if you want to hear uncomfortable fake laughter like there's chemistry.
Yeah.
Just try that sometimes. And there was another thing that happened here.
So we're not going to do that this year. I have no information that Craig Gass is in town, so don't worry about that.
We had a crazy-ass kid.
Let's see if Jaffe wants to do voices.
Yeah, he could do a Canadian hockey player.
I could do a Canadian, Minnesotan.
Right.
You know, he
maybe
he
can do a Don Cherry.
Yeah, and we had this crazy kid that wanted to be our intern.
What was his name? God.
Was Brody,
I thought
right?
about that when I pulled up here. Do you want to know why? I thought of it when I pulled up because I saw your truck. I'm like, I'll park right next to Zoe. And won't that be cute?
Yeah.
And it made me think of the kid who stopped by up here and went outside and took a picture next to your car and posted it on his social media.
Didn't I have to loan him $10 because he had enough gas to get back or something? My memory is
correct.
Yeah, and this is a kid that was best friends with Mark Cuban. Was hanging out with Mark Cuban last week.
Well, best friends might be.
This kid had a good line of BS. He was fun. He was fun.
I'm happy to say that probably none of that is going to be happening this year, but there's a lot of other stuff. We're going to have Billy Jaffe joining us starting at 11 o'clock, and we'll do a bunch of Bruins with him. Sean Grandy will be in the car with Max heading to the airport, I guess. That'll be at noon. So maybe we'll get a little Max on, too. Max was very happy to be on with Toucher and Rich a couple of days ago and yell hot balls over and over again.
We could do that.
After Rock and Roll Mike phoned it.
That's right. Who's the loser fat comedian that everybody can't stand, does that karaoke in the car?
What? Oh.
What the hell's his name?
James Corden.
Maybe we could have them do the car karaoke.
No, I think it'll be good just to talk to Randy and Matt. They don't have to do car karaoke.
Okay.
They don't have to. If they want to, they can.
They can, yeah.
Is that a new watch?
This one Heather got me for my birthday.
Oh,
Heather
really
and Sean.
Nice. That's really nice.
Sean in Chicago, who's listening right now as he gets to work and turns on.
Just our, name check.
Hey, hit that app, man.
Roll call.
Hey, if you're working out of state, and hit that app, baby. 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Notre Dame's not in the tournament, right?
That app.
They made the NIT, right?
They did not.
They only have football.
Sports Hub Street Team is here at the scoreboard, and they're setting up and getting everything ready for us to come on by. They got all kinds of stuff. They got giveaways. All kinds of stuff. Come up and get some stuff for free.
Buckets of stuff.
But today we're going to begin, though, with what's happening with NFL free agency. And I don't know. Is there something that you called maybe that you want to lead with? Did you call something?
Well, I called that A.J. McCarron would not be a Patriot. You know, I know there were reports yesterday there was a contract offer. They weren't interested at all. That never happened. But he did end up taking one of the lone starting jobs left in the National Football League, and that's a Buffalo Bills quarterback job. So that's interesting there. It is. I think he's okay. And I think he can play a little bit. And you get a guy in there that's a pocket guy that can function and get the team in and out of the huddle, and we'll see what happens. He can make upwards, I think, of, what, $15 million in 2 years? So, I mean, it's a good opportunity for him. He won his case against Cincinnati. You know, they screwed that whole trade-up that was supposed to happen. what a mess the Cleveland-Cincinnati thing was. And Ndamukong Suh is still out there, guys. Ndamukong Suh is still out there. And it's interesting because he obviously wants to get paid. See, here's the problem. You know, all these guys think they're going to get paid and get paid more money than what they were making with their teams and ask them to take pay cuts. And then you still have the Honey Badger out there. Matthew, yeah,
Honey Badger,
and that's on Pro Football Talk where he says, I really just want to go to a football first environment where football is important, and I'll actually take less to go there because I want to go on and play and I'm going to win. That's like ideal for here, ideal. So do you actually get in on him now? But the two big names are Matthew. And Ndamukong Suh. I'm going to do Mathau, Walter Mathau all day.
Okay, I think Ndamukong Suh is the more compelling character out
there.
So we're gonna start with him. Phil Perry wrote about it yesterday, and he reminds us that Ndamukong Suh signed a $114 million contract 3 years ago. He's already been paid $60 million on the deal. With 3 years into the deal, right?
Yep.
3 years left. It's still the most lucrative contract ever signed by a defensive player. 3 years ago, though. Salary cap keeps going up. Money keeps going up. These guys making crazy money across the league. Ndamukong Suh, still the highest paid player in terms of the contract that he signed. So, 60's got 50, let's call it $54.3 million left on a three-year deal. Dolphins are letting him go. But, as Phil Perry writes, not because he can't play, it's because they're going to try and build something different. So, would you be interested in having Ndamukong Suh, a guy who can play all three downs, a guy who played 80% of his team's defensive snaps since 2011, thank you, Phil Perry, and played in and started 126 out of 128 games in his career?
Yeah, you know, you remember when I was on Aqib Talib and I said I want a guy with an edge, I want an a-hole, you know, I want a guy that's going to stand there and fight you. This guy's that times 10.
To this extent?
This guy's nuts.
Right.
Like, he's certifiably nuts, but he, when he's out there, is unblockable. He is, unless he takes the playoff.
All right.
That's the only way you stop him. I mean, there's videos of him and where you'll see clips and he's face down and nobody's blocking him and he just stands there and sits on the ground and looks where the ball carrier is going instead of trying to get up and tackle the guy. That's taking a playoff. But, like, he wanted to kill Brady twice this year in those games. And he came in that backfield like a bat out of hell. Like, you had to double down on this guy and he still pushed the pocket. And he's just got a damn good motor. He's not injured, so there's no injury history. He's just a big human being with a nasty attitude. And I think it's intriguing because if you're Bill And Reese had a pretty good article here breaking down, you know, looking at some of the depth on some of the depth charts here. Like, they don't have, they're still pretty good across the board, strong. You know, because you're getting Hightower back. People keep forgetting that. You got Hightower back in the middle. Now you incorporate it with this guy, and that's why they're going to roll with the secondary that they're going to roll with. I want to try and better the front.
I want to talk about that and a couple of the other possibilities out there.
You see what I'm saying?
And we'll get your calls, too. 617-779-0985.
If you get Ndamukong Suh, can you roll in with Eric Rowe as your other starting corner?
Can they afford
Seriously.
Can they afford Ndamukong
Suh? I don't know that. Right. I don't know.
We'll talk about
it. You afford what you want to afford, okay?
Yeah, that I believe to be true.
It's the reason they balked on these four.
We're live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. Hardy and Zolak here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So at the Beatle 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Beetle, who's in Las Vegas. We got to talk about some of the Vegas stuff going on, too.
I want to see him get stuck on a roof like Doug did.
Well, he went out last night, and lift chats went out last night, too. And, boy, are there some developing points on that front.
Two lookers right there, boy.
No, it's not about the one. It's not about the fact whether or not they're going to get lucky while they're there. It's just the difference in the trips. I don't know. I don't want to go down that road right now. But we will later. And Dominic and
what do you mean difference in his trip? The Beatles out there on a family adventure and Lifshitz looking for hookers?
It's Lifshitz, and he calls it a work trip, but there are inconsistencies in the story, which we will get to, but not now. Right now, we got to focus in on this sociopath in Ndamukong Suh when he's not stomping on Aaron Rodgers' arms or almost keeping the Lions out of the rarest of rare things, a playoff appearance, which he almost did once, or he almost kept himself out of it, and the league finally acquiesced and let him back in. He is a really, really good football player. He's consistent, Zoe, and he's got a great stat line when it comes to the most important one of all, which is games played. You're right. He doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
He plays. He's in there on 80% of the snaps. I mean, he's incredible in terms of his durability and his ability to play. But do you want that extra element on your team with the Patriots?
I mean, I how long have I been doing the broadcast? 6 years. 6 years I've been doing the broadcast. I called a bunch of games against this guy, when he was in Detroit. How about the preseason melees they used to have? We were out in Detroit preseason. Brady got hit. He had three personal fouls for late hits in an end zone. One game in the preseason. That's when Schwartz was there trying to take him out. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And then the games against Miami, I go into it every week. We sit here and we talk, like, what are you going to do? You got to take Sue. You got to get Sue. Because what's he say? I want to hurt Tom Brady. I want to knock Tom Brady out. It would be great. And I would sweat those games because I'm watching this guy hit Brady. I'll never forget the Week 17 one. Remember when they tried to manage injuries and Brady got rolled up and like he broke his ankle? Because Sue went flying in there and he's trying to break his leg. It'd be great to have him on your team to where you didn't have to worry about blocking him, to let him go break somebody else's leg.
Here's the problem I have with Sue.
Him and James Harrison in the same front, two of the most unlikable players. It'd be great. Right. It'd be so New England to stick it up to everybody to go out and get Sue.
He is not the football equivalent of Brad Marchand or Bill Laimbeer or any of these guys that we talk about who have either played for your Boston team or against them, the guy that you hate to play against but you love to have on your team. You hate to play against Ndamukong Suh. Well, you don't want to play against him.
No.
Do other teams love to have him on their team? I don't know that they do.
I don't know if they do.
I don't ever remember hearing that from a Lions player. I haven't heard it out of Miami. Oh man, he's an absolute home wrecker. You know, the guy that we hated playing against. I'm glad he's on our team now.
Like I remember that Week 17 game I keep referring to, the one where New England gambled on health to go out to Denver and they got their ass kicked out in Denver in that AFC Championship game because you didn't have home field and they ran Steven Jackson 50 times. I remember that warm up because Miami had nothing to play for. And it was just lackadaisical, and the whole team's up like in a circle, and they're talking before the game as they come out, run out of the tunnel. And they're all over there. And there's one guy that came walking out of the tunnel by himself with his helmet held in his hand and just lackadaisically walked to the bench. And that was Sue. And I remember telling Bob, like, look at this guy. Look how detached this guy is from the rest of the team. And it sort of had that Greg Hardy element to it. And I called that game against Dallas down there when Hardy first came back after all the issues that he had. And he was just like a nut job warming up on his own. You know, he's over there on the side and the team's over there and he's just totally disconnected. But damn, when that ball's kicked off, or that whistle's blown, and it's game time, the motor's there.
Yes.
I mean, and that goes to show you, like, everybody gets ready a different way. And, you know, what's the environment like? But I got to hand it to him. His motor goes when he's out there. And that's what you got to look at when you're a coach. You're a GM. Look at the film. Does this guy affect the game? And I know this is a quarterback. When you break the huddle, there's certain guys you fear in this league. Like, when I was in the league, it was John Randall. John Randall for the Vikings. He would paint his face, and he wouldn't talk to anybody in warm-ups. And you just like, is this guy an animal? Like, is there something mentally wrong with him? Like, is he going to get checked in the loony bin when we're done here? Because he would sit there and he'd bark stuff at you. And he'd know your mother's name, your kid's name, and he'd scream it the entire game. I remember Bledsoe breaking out. I was like, Jesus, can you just shut up and play football? You're not scaring me. But those kind of guys get in your head. So when you break the huddle, I mean, are you really worried where maybe their backside backer is? No, you're trying to find out where's number 93. Is that the number he wears, Sue? I think he does. I think it's 93. Well, he's over there. So we better slide protection this way. So if I'm the quarterback, and I know what, and I understand protection, and I know assignments, and, okay, we need to block five here. I got five. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that Deion Lewis is here and James White. I'm going to slide him over here to this side because Nutjob's over here in this in the A-hole. And I just know that David Andrews can't handle him by himself. So you're going to have the ability to affect the thinking of quarterbacks just by being out there on the field. They're guys, and this is the Gronkowski element on offense. You break a huddle. Number 83, you got Dwayne Allen out there. Is he going to affect coverage? Hell no. He's going to stay in and block. You know, when Rob Gronkowski breaks the huddle, what are safeties looking for? Where's he at?
Right.
Oh, crap. What do we got to do? They flex him out. Guess what we're doing? We're checking it. We can't run a backer out. We can't run a safety out. We got to put a corner on him. Under normal operation, you're running any linebacker out with any tight end that they flex out to the side. So the biggest point is that, you know, there are guys that absolutely affect the way an offense or defense lines up and how they affect the football game. And whether or not you like, you think the guy's an a-hole, and Ndamukong Suh does that.
Okay. The the issue that may prevent this from being any kind of an issue at all is depends on who you want to believe. Now, Diana Rossini reported last night that she spoke with Suh. And he said,
spoke with Suh or somebody close to Suh?
Somebody close
big,
to
that's
Suh.
That's a big difference. So,
Thank you. Because it also plays in with the next part. She spoke with somebody close with Suh and said, he is going where the biggest check is waiting for him. He doesn't care about winning. Yeah, this is all about getting paid.
Then why is he playing?
What's the exact quote, Jim?
It wasn't an exact quote. Somebody had relayed what she said on TV.
But that's
yeah.
it. But yeah, that's it. Okay, yeah. So which is refreshing, by the way. Somebody who's just
sure
being
is.
Honest.
Because none of these guys, I mean, why'd Nate Solder go to Giants? Why? Because they got the most money. Well, isn't it crazy? So if we're going to sit here and pick on Ndamukong Suh, then you better call and pick on Nate Solder, too, because that guy went where the most
right.
money is,
so
okay?
He says, yeah, I don't know.
Newsflash, guys want to make money. No.
Who is going to pay me the most?
Gee, where'd Richard Sherman go?
But it's not picking on him. It's just saying he's not coming here.
Yeah. So $70 million for 3 years to go to the Patriots, $71 million for 3 years to go to the Jets, I'll go to the Jets.
Then why is New England reportedly in on it if it's so undoable?
Because Jordan Schultz says he spoke with Ndamukong Suh last night. He knows he has a slew of suitors, and he feels he's in a good spot regardless, really wants to win. So, do you believe what Suh told Jordan Schultz, or do you believe Diana Rossini, who spoke with somebody close to him and said he didn't care, he wants the most money?
Look at Jim Loth over there. He's thinking,
Well, Jim's no, he talked to the thing. Man himself, not somebody close
Correct.
To him.
Right.
Any family member said, man, he's fed up. He wants to go where he's going to get paid.
Now,
this guy's randomly had a few stories this week, huh?
Jordan Schultz?
Oh, yeah,
the Yahoo guy.
Yeah.
So he also said that he spoke with during his conversation with Suh. That he had a great phone conversation with Pete Carroll last night. There is tangible interest between both parties. Seahawks are very excited about Sue.
That's his Michael Bennett replacement right there.
Who has a host of potential suitors, given how dominant and disruptive he is. I mean, he's linked to a lot of teams in terms of people who are talking to him. It seems unlikely that the Patriots are going to end up writing the biggest check.
Apparently the Cowboys are in on it too, right?
Cowboys are, yes.
Yes. And Cowboys not interested in the Honey Badger. So this
Why wouldn't you be interested in him?
I don't know. To me, that seems like a guy you should be interested in. And here's a guy who's the exact opposite. Now, he may be full of it, but he has publicly stated, Tyrann Mathieu, that he will go someplace for less money for the right situation and the ability to win. He's already stated that. So there's where we stand. Do you want either one of these players? 617-779-0985. Tim McCone, I believe, back in Brighton, taking care of headlines today.
Yep.
So we'll hear from him, and then we'll continue our live broadcast here from the scoreboard. It's Hardy and Zoe on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
Boston Celtics falling in double overtime to the Wizards at the Garden last night, 125-124. Jason Tatum with a huge and-one layup to force the second overtime, but he then missed what would have been the game-winning free throw and a three with time winding down in the second overtime. Danny Ainge joining Toucher and Adam Jones this morning saying, that's what you get with young players.
All the good and the bad of, you know, 19-year-old kids playing in the NBA. I mean, Jason made some mistakes, but he had some great moments and has a wonderful, wonderful upside. And he's mentally tough and he's very versatile.
Bruins are back in action tonight as they visit the Florida Panthers. Boston 7-1 in their last eight games. You can catch tonight's matchup right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Bierce have the call with coverage getting underway at 7 with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. In the NFL, free agency rolling on. Ian Rappaport tweeting out this morning that Jonathan Casillas is visiting the Pats today. The linebacker has spent the last 3 years with the Giants after winning the Super Bowl with the Patriots back in 2014. And the first round of the NCAA tournament gets underway today. URI takes on Trae Young in Oklahoma to get the action started. That game tips off at 12:15. Sports of Headlines brought to you by WestJet Airlines. Now with low-fare daily flights from Boston to Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax, book now at WestJet.com. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beadle here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Rex Burkhead, Zoe. Did you call this one?
I did not. I thought, you know, if you're going to sort of be in the effort to retain Deion Lewis, you'd have to think about Rex Burkhead and Gillisley. It's kind of a must now. I think this is reactionary to the Deion Lewis deal to where, you know, he's pretty much your feature back now. I mean, you look at the depth chart, it's him, James White, and Brandon Bolden.
If they're
not giving the ball to Brandon Bolden.
If there is such a thing as a featured back for the Patriots,
right.
Yeah, I guess Rex Burkhead would be the closest thing you have to it now.
Right.
We can't accuse him of not doing anything.
But, I mean, they did something.
They did something.
The problem with him, though, is he's often injured. You know, from an accountability standpoint, and a dependability standpoint, do you depend on that guy? Can't say that you do yet. He's a good player, but seems like every third or fourth week he's in the tub with something, whether it's a rib, knee, you know, and he got messed up in Pittsburgh. He got that knee. You're lucky you actually got him back when you did get him back, because I thought he tore his ACL, and he did not. And they dodged the bullet with that one. Then you're talking about rehabbing and keeping a guy, but it adds another piece in the backfield.
I don't know.
Brady's got a good rapport with him.
I don't know how, you know, if we're supposed to be excited about
it. This is Belichick trying to piss Brady off.
By re-signing Burkhead?
I'm bringing a guy back that almost ripped your hand off. Your biggest offseason moves have been special teamers, gunners, Nate Ebner, your backup safety and gunner, and the guy that cut Tom Brady's hand that almost prevented him from playing in an AFC championship game.
And if a non-move can be considered a move, allowing Danny Amendola and Deion Lewis to sign somewhere else.
I feel bad for
all all designed to piss off Tom Brady.
I feel bad for Burkhead here because it's sort of an under the radar signing because you're looking at all the money that went out the door for the other four guys.
And Nate Solder.
You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Hey, we're announcing
that every move or non-move is done with a plan to piss off Tom Brady.
Hey,
you could make that case.
Yep. We're letting Nate go, a guy that's protected your backside for 7 years. He's the highest paid tackle in the game. We're bringing back a guy that gassed your hand. on a handoff.
Let's go to Derek in New Hampshire. You're on with Hardy and Zolak. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Hardy?
What's up?
We need that nasty back, you know, like Cox and Harrison back in the day. Somebody that can scare the crap out of the other team. But is Sue coachable?
Is Ndamukong Suh coachable?
Because they're going to play that gap defense, you know?
And I see your question. Is it a two-gap player? Or does he just want to go straight up field? See, they had this.
Is that your phone making that sound?
No.
Are you sure?
Not sure, but not on anything.
It kind of seems like it's your phone making that sound.
Well, let me turn my phone off.
Okay, thank you.
What was I saying?
You're talking about whether he's a two-gap player or if he just wants to shoot straight up the middle of the field. Ndamukong Suh.
Okay. Yeah. Remember when Vince Wilfork came out of Miami? When Vince came out of Miami and you drafted him in the middle of the first round, Vince was sort of a flex guy. He wasn't a nose tackle. He was more of a defensive tackle, and he'd play that five technique, meaning outside, outside the guard and over the tackle. And he was more of an up-the-field penetrating rush type guy where he would rush the quarterback more.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you know what? We're going to kick you down inside. You're going to be a three technique guy. We're getting you down inside. We're going to angle you. You're going to be a nose tackle. You're going to pack on weight. I think Vince wanted to pack on weight. Don't make him pack on weight.
Oh,
I mean,
heaven.
Vince looks like he's going to explode right now.
Could you imagine, though, being told to do that?
You know, and you remember Ted Washington prior to him? He was a big, heavy set guy.
Yeah.
So, and before that, you had guys like Bobby Hamilton, more of an athletic, more of a stout guy, not fat. But I'm not saying these guys are fat. But you want your nose tackles about 320. Really. You want them 320, 330. You want them to get down there and have a tough time for centers and guards to move them. But Vince was able to move to that. Could Sue, and I think Sue's athletic enough to where he played a lot of football. I don't know. I think he's coachable. But I think it's also – he also does what you allow that's allowed to be tolerated. If Belichick brings him in and says, I can't have you stomping on the arms of a quarterback.
Which seems like a reasonable request from a coach.
Wouldn't it be great, though, hey, bringing you in. Hey, they hate us. You know, like, the league finds us all the time. You know, suspended Tom. They suspended you. You know, you got issues. Let's make this thing work. Let's show them we can do this together. I don't know. What's the angle here? Other than money, is it to play with Brady? I think it'd be kind of interesting to have him and Harrison, two of the most unlikable NFL players that you've had over the last 10 years. James Harrison and Ndamukong Suh. And then you got Hightower coming back. Stick those guys in the front. That makes your secondary just a little bit better.
Now, has he calmed down a little bit, Sue? He has.
Yeah.
From when he first came into the league, just so you know. 9 personal fouls in his first 2 years. Okay?
That's a lot.
He had been fined by the NFL in the first 4 years, 4 times for a total of $216,000. That's essentially 50 grand a year per foul in the first 4 years.
See, you know what it is?
He's backed off it a little bit, but it's still in him.
He hasn't calmed down from the sense that he plays through the whistle. That's always an extra shove, a push, a hit in the back.
Yeah,
pushing a helmet down into the ground as I'm getting up, maybe stepping on your hand. That I kind of admire and like. I hate it when you're playing against him, but I like watching football when guys crush.
But
people.
If it's going to cost you 15 yards and first downs and
But having him on the field creates an uncomfortable awareness for the other team. You know what I'm saying? The entire line now needs to be aware. Hey, guys, watch out for this stuff. So you're going to spend time during the week watching film on Sue. Watch how this guy plays past the whistle, okay? I don't want anybody getting hurt. I don't want you protecting our quarterback. But look how dirty this guy is.
Yeah.
You know? There's a dirty element to his game. But that's what makes him good. Imagine if he could harness his size. And he's a hell of an athlete for his size.
Oh, yeah.
The guy can run.
Oh, he can move.
But from a strength standpoint, leverage, if he could just – he could. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame type guy.
All right, listen.
If he could just harness this.
We're going to get to more of your calls. 617-779-0985.
We got a break.
And Malcolm Butler has finally spoken about his Super Bowl benching. He talked to Jeff Howe. We'll tell you what he said as we continue live from the scoreboard in Woburn. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle.
Zolak and Bertrand. Middays. On 98.5. The Sports Hub. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand. On 98.5. The Sports Hub.
What's really interesting here, Malcolm Butler, hero 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, has not played a defensive snap tonight. The Patriots are telling us a coach's decision.
I don't know. They gave up on me. Yeah. It is what it is. It was a coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
So that was about it until Jeff Howe spoke with Malcolm Butler again on his Super Bowl benching. It's Zolak and Bertrand live at the scoreboard, Sports Bar and Grill here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, where the basketball games will be taking place here today. I'll just read this, and then we can, you know, kind of go.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeff Howe wrote this. Malcolm Butler on the Super Bowl benching. Quote, "I never got a reason. I feel like this was the reason. I got kind of sick. I went to the hospital. They probably thought I was kind of late on the game plan. I wasn't as locked in as I should be.
Fact.
And could have been a matchup deal.
Okay.
It could have been anything.
Okay, so you don't want to start him, right? Okay, I don't have a problem. You don't want to start him.
All right. So this
understand that.
Treat this like a tape. You can stop the tape at any time.
Good.
All right? But Bill Belichick has been doing this for a very long time. He took a veteran out of Super Bowl 49, against Seahawks.
Fact.
And put in a first-year rookie, and that turned out right.
Correct.
So you could never question his decision.
Fact.
He's, of course, referring to
Bill.
Well,
him going in.
In against the Seahawks in Phoenix.
Right.
Okay. All right. Tape plays. It didn't work out right. It didn't work out the best for me or him or the New England Patriots. But I can say he won more than he lost.
Okay.
So it is what it is.
Good. This is all great. Stop tape.
Okay.
This is all great. Matchup. You want to say, okay, Malcolm's a shorter guy, doesn't play the tall receiver. Okay, I get all that. I understand that. But I hate reopening wounds here because you tell me what happened in the second, third, and fourth quarter.
That's what it is.
That said he probably won't be better than what we've been doing. Since the other team hasn't ever punted. You know, when we made that little adjustment where
I don't remember correctly. Are you saying the Eagles didn't punt all that often in the first three quarters?
There's some pretty good stops against Seattle in Super Bowl 49. They're going back and forth.
Are you saying that they didn't punt at all?
They didn't punt at all.
Okay. Now it's coming back.
So you make the big adjustment. You take Jordan Richards out of that stupid nickel slot spot you had him in, and you put Bartomosi in. And remember when Bartomosi had the guy stopped, ready to go? Was that Engelhardt? Who was the slot guy, Jim? It was a third and six or something, third and seven, late in that game. And it was a drag route going from right to left. And Bartomosi's right there trailing him. They complete the pass. All he's got to do is make the tackle within a two-yard game.
Was it Aguilar?
It was Aguilar, yeah. And he ended up picking up like 11 yards on a third down. Ended up being a scoring drive.
They were picking up first downs on third and five, third and six, and going for an extra six or 7 yards, putting themselves in great field position. It seemed like that were seven of eight on their first seven of their first to eight third down. It was crazy to watch, and then they're picking up fourth downs. Yes, at some point you got to say maybe Malcolm Butler in this game would work out better for
us. How many times did you see Malcolm Butler through the course of this year, which was not a great great year for him being that trail technique where he's chasing a guy across the field. You complete the pass on him, but what ends up happening?
He sticks him.
He gets him down. He's a good tackler.
Yes.
He tackles well.
Yeah, and if it, you, what,
these other two kids, as I'm watching this game, and you mean to tell me at some point, you know, Matt, it's halfway through the fourth, Malcolm, go. That was a Malcolm go moment at 49. He was on the sideline. We're watching it, Malcolm, go. Give me one more Malcolm go in 52, and I think I think we got one. I think we got another Super Bowl victory. And I say congratulations to Malcolm. And I said, classy move. He took the high road here.
He said, I always have – and this is how it finishes.
Go ahead. Read what he told Jeff.
I always have love for New England, Bill Belichick, Mr. Kraft, all those guys. Life just goes on.
So I retweet and go, classy move. So happy for him making money. And I get a lot of replies on Twitter. Well, you're the one trashing him, trying to say that, you know, saying that there was an incident. I said, do you not listen to what I say? Because it is such a boneheaded decision to not play him a single series or one, not even a series, put him in for two plays. Put him in for the final two third downs of the game as the nickel slot guy. Okay? It's so hard as a football guy to accept that this is a package decision that I said something egregious had to happen. And I never said that Malcolm punched or hit anybody. But it would actually have to come to something like that.
You would think.
To dictate the kid crying. Because I watched, here's another thing that I just can't. I talked to Mike Reese a lot about this. Like, am I seeing this right? And we're kind of on the same thing. Like, just like, there's more to this. There's got to be more to this. Because I watch him warm up for 2 hours. I went down, you're at the Super Bowl, you're hanging out with Sean there. You guys are going to pre-thing and that. You guys are talking, get some food. I'm down on the field for 2 hours prior to it. I go down and I watch the whole team warm up. You see me down there, I'm watching him. Malcolm's got his headphones on. He's smiling. He's having a dandy old time. He's thinking he's playing in the game.
Oh.
So this concocted plan all came down in the locker room and was handed to this defense. Because Malcolm's breaking down crying while the national anthem's happening. Brendan Daly, one of the coaches, is going over to him to console him. Jordan Richards is hugging him. They're all, you know, and I commend Malcolm because I thought he handled himself well on the sideline. He kept the helmet on. He's cheering the guys on. He's trying to get behind him. I hate to reopen this because he's gone, and we're going to have to get past this because you lost the game. You're not bringing the game back. But do you understand, I never accused Malcolm of doing anything. I was making the point that did you spit in someone's food?
I'm trying to make it make sense in my head.
Did you pee in somebody's shoe?
Right.
I don't know.
You're not accusing him.
What did you do so egregious, that was so egregious to a guy that has played 98.6% of the snaps for the last 4 years, highest guy average on defense to play that in this league, starts 17 games for you, 17 this year, and he can't get on the field for one snap against that lineup. I'm watching Jordan Richards run around like a chicken with his head cut off. And then I'm watching Jonathan Batamosi not make any tackles. Like, so those two guys, when their contract's up, Tennessee's going to go get those guys and give them more than what Malcolm got, because those guys played ahead against this guy that's just going to Tennessee and got $31 million guaranteed. Are we that hard-headed? And that's why I said that. I'm not accusing Malcolm. And Malcolm knows that. I talked to Malcolm. I was with him at the post-game party. He's like, I don't know what I did. I don't know. And I'm thinking, it had to be something. Something had to happen. Like, I'll never find out. We won't find out. I don't know. But this is him taking a high road, and I credit him, and it's a class move by Malcolm Butler.
You said a number of things, and I don't want to reopen it again, too, but you're absolutely right. Malcolm Butler, he wasn't going to shut anybody down. He's not a shutdown corner, but he could tackle a guy after he caught the ball. He would have been able to do that. And, no, you're not accusing him of anything, but we're all just trying to make sense in our heads as to what actually happened. And we still don't know. The stuff that Jeff Howell got was great. But we still don't have the answer. And this is something that's going to continue to haunt this team until they win again, so.
Well, this is something that is sort of haunting them now, because this is where you get all the luster comments and the luster articles that it's the beginning of the end. This is where you lost the locker room. This is where other guys are pissed off. This is why guys are leaving. Do you people understand why four people left? Because Malcolm Butler didn't play?
Well.
No, did you see the guaranteed money the four people that left got?
We're gonna get.
Do you understand that?
We're gonna get to that later.
Sorry,
but no, I think
so. Get so angry.
I don't think you can dismiss it. you can't dismiss it. When we're talking about, and this is a story we're going to get to later, as to whether or not people think that maybe the destiny is coming to an end. Is it that? Is it more money? Is it the way that they treated Malcolm Butler? Why can't it be, when you're putting together a list of pros and cons, where I'm going to sign and where I'm going to play? It's all those things.
Say you picked up the phone and you called Richard Sherman. If I'm Richard Sherman, what are you asking, Bill? What happened with Butler in the Super Bowl?
Right.
I'm coming there to play corner.
What? Is that going to happen to me?
What happened to your starting corner?
Yeah.
You want to play more snaps? Corner? More snaps, started more games than me in the last 4 years.
Right. Right.
What would you do to him?
Yeah.
Because what did he do to you?
I don't want that to happen to me.
Right. See, that's another concern. We'll get to another point in the show.
Tim McCona gives us updated here in 90 seconds. No commercials. Billy Jaffe joins us next, live from the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. Hardy in for Beetle on Zolak and Bertrand.